I'm going to do something uncharacteristic, given the fact that we have had such a full morning and we still have anniversaries to celebrate and we want to get into the sukkah. I'm going to get right to the point. I had an opportunity just a moment ago to talk to the first religious school Shabbaton. We've got a wonderful group of children in the chapel now. And generally what I do when I talk to the children or to one of the other services is I give them in a couple of minutes the point of the sermon, and then I come in here and I fill it up. Like the story that I told over Sukkot about the rabbi who was in line greeting everybody, and someone comes up to him and says, "Rabbi, it was a wonderful sermon. I'm actually from Network News, and I wanted to know if you could condense that sermon and give us the essence on TV by pulling it together and just saying it. Could you say it in just a minute?" And the rabbi says, "Yes, actually, I could." And she says, "Well, why didn't you?" So now, having explained now over 5 minutes how I'm going to get to the point, let me get to the point, which is we have Shalosh Regalim, three holidays in our tradition: Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuot. And we are supposed to be happy on all of them. V'samachta b'chagecha, explicitly the Torah says you should be happy on your festivals. But there is only one that is called Zman Simchatenu, the time of our joy, and it is the one where you're supposed to sleep outside in a cold sukkah, even if it rains, when you're supposed to, the moment Yom Kippur ends, start building this flimsy construction, and then you got to take it down. And it seems as though if there were a holiday designed not to be Zman Simchatenu, it'd be Sukkot. Not only that, but there is a theoretical, a philosophical problem with calling Sukkot the time of our joy. Shavuot, I understand. We celebrate Shavuot because Shavuot is the time of the giving of the Torah. So you say, why do we celebrate Shavuot? Because we got the Torah. Pesach, I understand. We celebrate Pesach because it's an escape from slavery. Who wouldn't celebrate an escape from slavery? But Sukkot, who would celebrate building a hut in a wilderness and say, that's the time we're really happy? One of the children in the religious school just a moment ago, who was a little bit too smart, I'm afraid, said, "Well, it's because of the harvest." I said, "Ooh, that's very good, but I don't want to talk about the harvest right now, because it doesn't fit what I want to say. So let's put the harvest aside for a minute." And just think of it in terms of the historical progression. Leaving Egypt, Passover. Getting the Torah, Shavuot. Living in makeshift huts. When the hot desert sun beats down on you. When, in every place in the world except for Los Angeles, you have inclement weather. Why do we celebrate that? Not only that, but you know what book we read today? We read the book of Kohelet, which is full of very discouraging messages. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but time and chance, which is a way of saying death, happens to them all. Be happy. That's what it says. And the best answer I know has to do with what we all went through as children. What do you say when you're going somewhere far in the car as a child? When are we getting there? Exactly. When are we getting there? This is so boring. Aren't we there yet? And when you're not saying that, the other thing you're saying, which every child says innumerable times to their parents and uncountable times, which is the same as innumerable, but I meant it to sound like more, to themselves, is, "I wish I were a grown-up." Every child wants to be a grown-up because grown-ups get to decide. But the answer of Sukkot is there is joy in the journey. That's why this is Zman Simchatenu. Because in fact, life is not about arriving, since we don't arrive. Whatever place it is that we think we're going to get to, when we get there, it's never what we imagined before we got there. And happiness is fleeting and ephemeral. And then we want more. And when they do surveys, as they have, of people's relative happiness, they are almost always scoring higher when they are, quote-unquote, young and struggling than when they have achieved whatever it is they set out to achieve. Because life is all about the sukkah. It's not about, you know, we don't even have, actually, a holiday for the entry into the land. Isn't that amazing? Where's the holiday for the day we entered Israel? It's not there. We have a holiday for the journey and none for the arrival. And the reason that that's so is the Jewish tradition is very smart. Because life is not about arriving. We never arrive at that perfect place we dream of. And if you don't like the journey, you will have a miserable life. Because it's all about the journey. I mean, when you're a kid, what do they say to you? Real life starts when you get to college. And then when you're in college, real life starts when you get a job. And then you get a job, and real life starts when you get married. And then real life starts when you have a child. And then real life starts when you're a grandparent. And before you know it, real life has never started, and it's over. Every moment is equally precious, because every moment is about the journey. And that's the lesson of Sukkot. There were people who sat here on Yom Kippur, and all they were thinking about was when the shofar would blow. And they missed Yom Kippur. They missed it. They were there, but they weren't there. This is it. This, right now, is life. That's the message of the sukkah. And that's why it's supposed to be Zman Simchatenu. Because this, right now, is the greatest gift, without which there are no other gifts. So if in the next few days you get to sit in a sukkah and look at the sky and remember the journey, be happy. You're alive and you're on the way. Shabbat Shalom.
Very quick word on the Torah and Haftorah today. Quick, because we have an extremely full morning with everything from a guest ambassador speaker to anniversaries to the Hoshanoth. We're very busy. So I just wanted to point out, you know, one of the things, one of the accoutrements of Sukkot that is not here this morning is the lulav and the etrog, or are the lulav and the etrog, depending on where you put your plurals. And that's because you are not allowed to use the lulav and the etrog on Shabbat. You're not supposed to carry them, and so even though it's Sukkot, we don't bless the lulav and etrog on Shabbat. So I thought, in the absence of having a lulav and etrog, I would tell you a story about the lulav and etrog from the Talmud. According to the Talmud, there was a time when people would go up to the temple And you know, some people remember their lulav and some don't. If you were here yesterday, you know that we had some lulavim and etrogim on the bima so that those who forgot could come up and get one. So they instituted this idea that everybody would take their lulav and just throw it in a common place, and anyone who had forgotten it could go and get one and do the Hoshanot, walk around the synagogue, not as we will do them today, we don't walk around today, but as we did it yesterday and the day before. Very soon, however, what happened? Someone said, I brought a special lulav that was my family's lulav that I cared about and I loved, and it's gone. So now the rabbis had to decide between the ideal of everybody shares lulavim and the reality of people like their own lulav and etrog. And so they decided that the principle of theft, taking someone else's lulav, overrode the principle of communal sharing, and they stopped the practice. I bring this up because, you know, Sukkot, for reasons that we may go into later, is also in its way a messianic holiday. You'll see we're about to read a Haftarah about the wars of Gog and Magog, which precede the coming of the Messiah. So there are two ways of looking at this. If you are, in fact, a classical socialist Marxist, you can say that the rabbis were trying to set up a perfect society, and that if only they had had better tools, they would have been able to do it. If you are, in fact, a capitalist, you say, aha, you see, the attempt to set up a socialist society fails, and maybe when the Messiah comes, it will work. Remember, Sukkot is all about being essentially ownerless, living in the desert, not having material goods. But in the meantime, everybody should work hard and earn their own lulav. So, in view of the fact that the synagogue only has a few extra lulavim for those of you who come in the next few days, let's go the capitalist route. I hope you all got your own lulav, and if you didn't, please do next year, unless the Messiah comes in the interim.